Welcome to K-Drama Musings, where you'll find reactions, reviews, and recommendations of K-dramas and more. I am your host, Carol, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. If you like what you hear, I invite you to join me on Instagram at K-Dramas Musings for more fun content. If this is your first time listening, go ahead and subscribe. K-Drama Musings is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you like the show, please give me a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Your support is deeply appreciated. Let's get to today's show. Today, we're switching things up a little bit. I have a very special guest with me. I have my brother on my podcast for the first time, folks. Please join me in welcoming David Markwe of David Markwe Productions. Hi.
Is that your crowd sound?
I know it is.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'm excited you're here. This is very different for us, and thank you for joining me. Today we're going to be talking about your movie, Inner Child.
Our movie.
Yes, our movie, Inner Child. Mm-hmm. You know, as we are talking, if the slangs go away, just know that it's because we are more comfortable.
Yeah.
So as you're listening, you're getting to see David and I just be big sister and brother, and we're going to rock with it, right? Okay, let's jump into it. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, myself first. Oh, okay. Yeah, I am a photographer, filmmaker in the Vancouver area, and I've been doing my thing for, I want to say, over 7 years now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mostly work with artists and different businesses. And, you know, I do weddings sometimes. And now I'm sort of starting my foray journey into filmmaking. And so that's where I find myself today with Inner Child.
So something that's interesting is we have always been talking about stories and creating stories. And I remember when we were kids, we actually created our first radio show, which was...
We don't have to talk about that.
No, it's full circle because right now we're on an actual podcast.
Okay.
Talking about creating a story that you wrote the script. And you shopped it around to actors and you created this and we created it together. So it's something that I'm really proud of. And we had Dorcas with us, listeners. Dorcas is our sister who is filming us right now. So it's always been creativity around us. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that we got to work on something together to bring it to life.
Yeah. Right?
So tell us more about Inner Child. The concept, how it came to you, why it came to you, and then the story.
Yeah. Inner Child. It's a story about, I would say, that nexus between being a child into a teenager, into a young adult, and then getting, you know, into like a fully realized adult. And so it sort of is an exploration of some of the tensions and dilemmas that we face as we make that journey in our lives. And I think I wrote this because I feel like that's similar to where I'm at in my life, you know, kind of getting out of that sense of like being more of having that childlike sense of like wonder and curiosity and, you know, adventure, and trying to get more into like being a full grown adult and, you know, with responsibilities and dealing with like the day to day things that come with adulting. So it's this story, very small, short kind of piece that follows these two people who have gone on a first date and are having a meeting of their minds around, you know, different worldviews. One person, Jazz, played by Abigail Sackey, who's an amazing actress. She's more of a spontaneous person who has this sense of still that sense of wonder and wants to, you know, continue to be a free spirit. And we have Gio, played by Ismael Ndiaye, and he also a great actor, great young actor here in Vancouver. And he is, you know, more of like the serious straight man, so to speak. And he's sort of the person who wants to step into his potential and you know, try to achieve everything he wants to achieve. So he's very serious, very sort of, you know, forward thinking. And for a good part of the piece, he's not really buying what Abigail is selling in terms of like still embracing his inner child. He probably thinks she's a bit insane. Whoa, whoa. So yeah, that you know, in a nutshell, is his inner child.
I love that. And I think that one thing that stood out to me about Abigail's story, or Jazz in this case, is that, yes, she's free-spirited, but we sort of hint that she hasn't always been that way. So there is a journey that she too has been on, which gives us an opportunity to keep exploring her story in the future if we had the opportunity.
Oh, like a sequel?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that will happen, but no, but I that's a good point. I think Abigail's character, Jazz, has gone through quite a bit in her life, and we see a little bit of that in the film, but it's given her a sense of perspective, because I think her argument is that we don't need to lose our inner child because, you know, we get a sense of clarity and a sense of sort of, you know, we often label children as seeing things from a pure perspective, and we actually tend to trust their view or their sense of people or their sense of situations more because they're coming at it from like a less, I guess, tempered view. And so I think that Jazz's character, or Jazz, is making that argument that, you know, you don't, just because you're growing up doesn't mean you have to lose your inner child, because it can help you see things with clarity. It can help you find joy in life still, which is important as you go through the course of your life. And, you know, it's going through difficult things in life, and she was probably more like Gio when she was a bit younger, but going through whatever difficulty she's faced has helped her come to that realization, and that's why she's the person she is today.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was very excited when I got the script, because I felt like I was watching one of my K-dramas with the banter and the storytelling and also the lessons that you as a writer wanted to put out there. Like, I felt like I got it watching the show or reading the script. And then I saw Abigail and Ishmael. And I have to say, their chemistry?
Yeah.
It did its thing. Like, I believed them. And I remember being on set the first time and helping with, like, I was sort of like a script assistant where...
Just every other role you filled in, which you definitely appreciate.
Thank you. I did more than that. Yeah. But I just felt like I was lost in their performance, because as soon as you said action, they became these different people. And it felt like I had this bird's eye view into something so exciting, heart fluttering, like pure and funny. And both of them, their performance was really believable. Because I was walking off like, nah, whatever you're selling, I'm buying.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's funny. When I first wrote it, I really didn't imagine anyone else for both Jazz and Gio than Abigail and Ishmael, just because I had worked with them separately on different projects. And I know Abigail I've known her for quite some time. We've known her for quite some time. And Ishmael, I just met, I think a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, on another project. And so, I had reached out to Abigail even when I was still writing it, and she had given me notes on the script. And with Ishmael too, just from the last time I had worked with him, he has a certain like maturity. He's a really young guy, like he's still early 20s, but he has a certain maturity, and he just in terms of the way he delivers his lines, like it's yeah. very, it's shows like a level of seasoning as an actor, which I just wanted to work with in some way. So even when I was writing the script and as I was developing those characters, they were the two people I had in mind. So I was really happy that I was able to get them to join and work with me because, and yeah, like you say, pretty much from the first day when we were doing like the script reading and we did our rehearsals, the chemistry was like flying off the paper. And yeah, I don't think I could have seen anyone else in that position. So,
Now, bringing it to life for myself, there is something so fascinating about spending all these years watching shows, specifically K-dramas, and always wanting to be on set to see how the magic happens. And when you asked if I would join the project, no brainer. Of course I was going to join, but being on there and seeing just how much work it takes, that hit different because I think oftentimes we glamorize the final product and we don't see the challenges that we went through. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of those challenges because
let's talk about it.
This project rocked us a little.
It was, I think this whole process was something I wanted to do because I'd always been talking about wanting to get more into filmmaking and writing my own scripts and directing and, you know, doing all these things. But I think I was always kind of talking myself out of it at the same time, just thinking about how difficult it is to do. And so just right off the jump, I mean, well, everything that went wrong could have gone wrong. And that's even with us trying to plan as best as we could. So on the day that we were supposed to film, the location that we had picked had been blocked off that night because there was like a special event going on and there were lots of fireworks happening. So there was no way that we could have gotten access to that area. So we had to figure out an alternate location that same night on the fly. And then when we went to that alternate location, there was a party going on in one of the apartment buildings nearby. And so that was also creating a noise element. There were people out in the park nearby who were also making noise. So that also, you know, interfered with our production. And also there were a lot of rats, many, many rats, just a whole village of rats just
running,
scurrying around the area we were filming. So that caused issues just from a fear perspective, in between takes, just seeing how many rats there were. It was definitely difficult to focus, but, we still persevered and we did our best. I think that the lesson that I learned from that was just how, first of all, to definitely try to plan as much as possible, but still be ready with contingencies and backup to your backup plans, plan B, plan C, plan F, for, you know, in the event anything happens, because, you know, it's just like Murphy's Law, like whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And, whether it's weather, whether it's the public, whether it's just, there's so many uncontrolled elements, especially when you're filming outdoors, that, you just have to be ready to kind of go with the flow a little bit. And I think it takes a little bit of perseverance, like just still not being discouraged by some of these challenges and roadblocks, but still pushing for getting it done as best as you can. Because I definitely that night, like there were multiple times that I wanted to give up for sure. And
really?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if it wasn't for like you guys, just seeing how enthusiastic you were and Abigail and Ishmael were, and also like my crew, particularly my friend Odate, who is like just an amazing like powerhouse of a young filmmaker. He was there. He had actually gone done filming some of his project that he was working on that same day. He came straight to my set. So, you know, just want to give him like a special shout out for that. And we had a side conversation and I was like, I don't know like if I can do this. And he was like, you have to do it. And
yeah,
you know, that just gave me that extra, you know, at, I don't know, it was like 12, 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And it just gave me like an extra level of motivation to try to get it done as best as we can. So yeah, yeah. Lots of challenges, but you know, I'm glad that we're able to get here.
I think that's one of the things that kept us going, the team itself, like you said, the enthusiasm, and then people willing to take on multiple hats to make sure that it happens. So I did some security, I did some catering, I did some liaising with the public to give us the space to film. And I remember at some point we had these gentlemen who were in the park who were just drinking and talking loudly and they were getting in the way. And I just remember saying, you know what, I'm just going to bribe them with pizza and ask them to keep quiet.
Yeah, yeah. I was not a fan of that. But it helped. Yeah, it helped.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Because when I walked up to them, I remember saying, oh, we have some pizza. Would you like some? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, so as I'm giving it to you, we're just shooting something. Can you like, you know, lower the decibels a little?
Yeah.
And he's like, are you telling us to shut up? I'm like, no, no. Just like, you know, lower your voice.
Yeah.
And they were really kind. For at least like 10, 15 minutes, they gave us complete silence to get that shot that we needed. Mm-hmm. And we were done. So
yeah,
it really helped. Unconventional, but.
Yeah, it helped. And, you know, like we definitely appreciate like all of those hats that you wore throughout the whole process, you know, just being, whether it's like being a sounding board, being my first AD, you know, just keeping us on schedule, keeping us on track in terms of like the script as well, like making sure the lines were being read correctly. You were really, really helpful from that perspective, like just keeping everything together so I could just focus on directing and the camera. So yeah, really appreciate your help throughout the whole process from beginning to end.
You're welcome. But it's not just me. Let's talk about the other crew. Because we had Odate, as you mentioned, who we randomly met on socials, I suppose. And then we became friends. And he's new-ish to the city. And then we started working with him. And he has been a great support to our projects and what we want to do. We've also seen some of his projects and what the moves he's making in Vancouver, which I love for him. So listeners, please check out Odate Mango's work because he's awesome. What about our sound guy?
You know what? No. We don't need to talk about we don't need to talk about the sound guy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all
okay, good. Okay.
But I just want to say Odate Spielberg, he's not going to like that we call him that. Yeah, just, you know, definitely echoing shout out to my Ghanaian brother who just came recently to Vancouver. And yeah, like we talk, you know, every now and then and kind of just send each other encouragement over like what we're doing. And, you know, he's definitely someone that people should watch out for him. Like he's going to be a really great filmmaker down the line. He already is, but I feel like there's, you know, he's just touching the surface of what he can do in his career. So yeah, watch out for Odate Mango, as you know, he's known on the online streets.
Yeah. Now, what about, let's see, what kinds of stories would you like to tell moving forward? Like what are emotions or what kinds of emotions would you like to explore in storytelling?
Well, I think I'm still on that journey of like refining what exactly my signature is, or like what my voice is, or the types of stories I like to tell. But I think at the core of it, like I like to tell very human-centric stories, stories that bring out emotions in people, stories that you feel like you can see yourself in. And you know, I like to center Black voices in those as well, just because I don't see Black people really represented in like a diverse set of stories. It's getting better for sure, but I think there's a lot more work to be done. So yeah, it already is something that I try to incorporate into my other work. Like, you know, if I'm shooting a wedding, if I'm, I like to work on documentaries too. And I think I just like to sort of incorporate that like real world, just sort of the more of the realism into the stories and trying to really harp on messages that you can pull out and see in your own life or incorporate into your own life, because I feel like that's when I can really connect with my audience, and that's what I enjoy doing. So yeah, that's kind of what I would say to encapsulate like what types of stories and emotions I'd like to tell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that, and I wish you the best with it. Obviously, I want to see you win. This is a really fun hobby that could turn into something even bigger. So I feel like there is room for growth, for exploration, for having fun as you go. And obviously you have the support of Dorcas and myself while we work on our separate projects. Speaking of Dorcas, so we did have her on set for one night when we were shooting the opening scene. And I want to talk about that opening scene for a moment, because we had our two leads go to a playground, and that sequence and the set. Talk to us about how you got that inspiration for the set and what you were trying to portray.
Yeah, so we visited that playground a couple of times, and that was something that set piece was really a key element that I wanted to really bring to life on camera. And so I had already been sort of scouting for different playground locations, and that stood out to me because it was relatively close and because of the nature of it. And so, yeah, we had visited it a couple of times just to take a look and to test the lighting and different things. And I think that whole process really like brought to mind just how gorilla we were, like in terms of like pulling together whatever we could to make it look interesting and really sort of add to make the playground a character almost. And so we set up string lights on the playground itself. We put in some lanterns around the area, the playground, and we lighted them up as well. And we also lighted the background. So we had the foreground and the background lighted a different color just to add more layers and more dimension. And we just played around with that lighting just to create sort of a dreamlike feel, like almost that it's, I think you almost watching it, I hope people can almost imagine them dreaming about being a child and, you know, being in that state where it's not necessarily, of course, you're never really going to see like string lights on a swing set. But I think that just adds to the dream state that we were trying to go for. And hopefully it comes out pretty well for people when they watch it, because I definitely enjoyed filming that that sequence. And we have a lot of footage of Abigail, who plays Jazz, just riffing and poking fun at Gio. And so, yeah, that was a lot of fun to film.
It was a lot of fun too for me, because, and for Dorcas, because we got to see just one, the chemistry between the actors, but then also just the fun of us working together. And we keep saying it, oh yeah, we should work together. But we actually did it. And I'm not trying to like blow our horns, but we're a really good team, because we seem to understand without necessarily enunciating what each other needs in a moment and how to add to bring the project to light. So whether it was Dorcas who was moving with you with the light, or it was me holding up the lights in one way and having people walk by and even look at us like, what are these people doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say I really enjoyed working as siblings on this. And I hope when you do watch it, listeners, that you're seeing just the joy that we were able to bring to life with the actors, but also with ourselves working behind the scenes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, Dorcas is, you know, she's a really talented artist, and she has been that way for a long time, even from when we were kids. And, you know, has been like definitely an inspiration for me. Just, I remember being jealous of her. she's behind the camera saying aw shucks. But yeah, no, like she has that like innate talent from when we were kids. And I was definitely like jealous growing up because I was just like, I remember like trying to get her to teach me how to draw, and she would try and she'd just give up because I was hopeless and probably for the best. But yeah, she just has that like that talent that you can't teach, you know, and mm-hmm. it feeds into like all of her other work. So she inspired me to like, you know, get more into photography, not even necessarily by like telling me, but like just observing her and to give that creative side of myself a chance. And you know, I was really happy that she was able to join us that mm-hmm. day. And because she is always good at like pointing out things that we may not have seen, because she just exactly. has that like creative mind, that creative instinct. And so anytime, you know, we can get her around, it's always a good time.
Absolutely.
And we always know that she's going to point something out that would just take whatever project we're working on to a different level. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, as we wrap up, what were some of your favorite scenes that you shot?
Oh, favorite scenes. My favorite scene personally is the monologue that Gio has near the end of Inner Child, where he's talking about fulfilling his potential and his fears. I think that really is like the most emotional part of the project. And I was really impressed by how he read the lines. It's funny, and I think this is something that I've learned, is that, you know, filmmaking is a very collaborative process, and you may have a script and you may have, you know, a shot list, but when you're actually in the process of developing those shots with the actors and you're working with them face to face, they can bring in certain things which you never would have thought of. So one thing he suggested was that, hey, why don't I say a certain line in French rather than English. So he says, I'm going to butcher it, but he says, le temps attend personne, which means time waits for no man. And just the way he read it was perfect. And it added a new layer to the film, you know, bringing in his mother and what she taught him. And yeah, just kind of harking back to his childhood, right? So it's kind of showcases what the theme is of the project. And it just goes to show again, like how much collaboration is needed in filmmaking and how open-minded you have to be as a director, as a filmmaker, when you're working with the team, because, you know, the more ideas like that you can get, the more improved your project will be. And the more you can kind of bring your vision to fruition. So yeah, just want to shout out Ishmael for doing a great job at that part of the film.
Mm-hmm. As for me, I'm simple. My favorite part was actually in the behind the scenes. The playground? Their banter?
So it's 30 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, as for me, I'm simple. My favorite scene was actually when there's a line that gets me giggling each time, because it's so much like my K-dramas, where Gio says, well, Jazz is trying to tell him to relax and he's wound up, and then Gio responds with something like, oh, you can pull my drawstrings at any time. Ah! Sorry, I'm just thinking of that moment again and that shot.
Yeah,
I just loved it so much. And yes, I agree with you with the lessons. And each person, it felt like they had a bar the next scene where they're dropping some really good life gems. Mm-hmm. But I loved the squeal moment, and I think they did amazing in it. That's when I was like, I'm buying whatever you're selling. So
Yeah, that just goes through the chemistry again. You know, exactly. Seeing them play that out on camera was really great.
Yeah. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode, and I want to say thank you so much. For our listeners who are interested in finding you, where can they get in touch?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram mostly at Dave Dreams, or I have a website, www.thedavidmarkway.com. And yeah, feel free to get in touch. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Listeners, this is the end. If you have enjoyed this, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify Podcasts. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. I'm Carol. See you on the internet somewhere. Bye. Thank you.